Yesterday during the show, we carried the president's press conference because we knew that it was going to be a freewheeling one, and that it was. Any number of questions being asked, but right very much at the beginning of the press conference, Mr. Acosta, CNN chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, I think acted in an unruly way. Obviously knew that the president did not want to engage with him any longer as it relates to that issue, refused to give up the microphone that was being passed as an accommodation to each one of the members of the media, and continued to yell out questions. When he was called out for it by the president by saying he's rude, he continued to go on. Part of the problem here is Jim Acosta is editorializing. He's not asking questions. He's making statements that are very subjective. One, he said, this is not an invasion. Well, I disagree with him, and I've said that all along. The definition of invasion is an unwelcome intrusion into another's domain. I don't know anything more spot on than that definition as it relates to what we're seeing on the news each and every day is being presented by the caravan for the purposes of their ratings. That can only be what it's about. And I think sometimes the media should be reminded. There's no obligation for him to have a press conference in the first place. It's his press conference. He'll call upon whom he desires to call upon when and where he calls on them. In fact, he could pick out any number of people in the audience and go in the back and have an exclusive with him. He has no obligation to talk to Jim Acosta. Not now, not ever. There have been some court rulings that say that if you're going to have an open press conference, that you have to invite all the media outlets to that press conference. That's fine. They're invited. Doesn't mean they have to, that you have to allow them to participate. He can pick out whoever he wants. But we have gotten to the point, and in fact, during that press conference yesterday, any number of people stepping all over their peers, of course, they're all going to stand up for one another. But if anybody says that he does not believe in open access to the media, 68 questions asked by 35 different reporters in that press conference yesterday. I don't know how much more open and transparent you could be. It doesn't mean he has to answer the question. If he doesn't answer the question, report that. He did not answer the question. Plain and simple. Here's a little slice of what was done yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign. In the midterms, that this caravan was an invasion, as you know, Mr. President.
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that. I appreciate it.
Why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so
on.
Well, that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that.
They
weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that that you may have.
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
So that's a little slice of what went on yesterday, and obviously he didn't like the answer, and he wanted to move on to another question, and the president simply didn't want to engage him in another question, and I think he's got every right to do so, to conduct the press conference in the manner in which he so desires. And once again, obviously, he's editorializing. He's making a statement that it's not an invasion. So say who? They got into confrontations with the police at the Mexican border, and he's predicting, well, that's not going to happen at our border. Well, how can you say that? That's conjecture at best on your part. How can you say and ensure that that is not going to ultimately happen at our border? You don't know that. They've already done it once or twice along the trail of that caravan. And who cares whether or not it's 100 miles away, 200 miles away? It's coming. Is there a time limit? Is there a mileage limit where it's going to be okay for you, Jim Acosta, for the president, or any other elected official? And it's really not just about the president. It's about elected officials and their interaction with reporters. Who sets the limit when it's okay to talk about this at any given point in time? It may not line up well for your political philosophy, Jim, but the facts are that there's a difference of opinion. And it's okay that y'all don't agree. That's all right. That's what makes the world go round. But you don't have to be rude to your peers. We'll be right back after the break. We're back. Let's go to the talk lines. Line one, Ronnie in Algiers. What say you, Ronnie?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. How's everything?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm a Democrat, but admittedly, it was pretty rude yesterday, even though I really feel like, you know, it's that you say the president has been open to the press. I don't feel like he's been open. I don't feel like he's been open at all. I don't feel like he's been open to media at all. So,
in what way?
When you say
he's not been open, I mean, every time he walks out of the White House and he goes to the helicopter, or he's going to Air Force One, he stops and he talks to the media. He has more off-the-cuff comments and questions to the media than any other president I can remember.
It's one thing to invite the media, but if you're trying to screen their questions, then...
Well, you don't think he has a right to say, I don't want to answer that question right now?
Yeah, he has a right to say that.
Okay.
He definitely has a right to say he doesn't. I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Joe Wilson. When Joe Wilson was shouting "You lie" in the meeting with President Obama, not the meeting, but the you remember? I don't know if you remember.
Totally uncalled for, totally disrespectful, not civil at all.
And I didn't see as much uproar about that. I've been seeing.
Oh, I think there was a lot of. I think there was a lot of uproar about it. Look, there are those folks that were anti-Obama that relished that moment. I get it. But there was a lot of uproar about it. I think a lot of people said, you don't treat the president that way. It's very disrespectful. It's his press conference. He has the opportunity to say what he wants. That is not the appropriate forum when you're addressing Congress or you're addressing the media to yell things out at the president.
But
that's
yeah,
what you
I
do.
I do agree with you.
That's what you do in third world countries. You know, you look at third world countries, you see them breaking out in fist fights and all of this stuff. And, you know, and there's no sense
right.
of civility, no order, no structure, no discipline, nothing.
Right. But I tell you one thing you and I do agree on. The two-party system, I think, is getting – something needs to change. I think it's being more – it's dividing the country more. You know, things have changed. Times have changed. And we do agree on that. I think I heard you say that once before.
Yes, sir. I say it almost every day. Best and worst thing about this country. We can reach compromise when we so desire. And we don't have to be faced with a plurality government, which may be as many as 6 or 13 different factions. But the worst part about it is it's all about control. And we're going to see it now with the Democrats taking over the House. I'm not attacking the Democrats because if it was flipped and it was the Republicans going it, they would do the exact same thing.
You're right.
Because it's all about control.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that.
All about control. Well, thanks so much, Ronnie, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bobby on line two. What say you, Bobby? Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hey, no, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. How you doing today?
Doing great. Doing great. What you got?
Just my thoughts. I listened to it on your radio station yesterday. I was at work, and I caught the video of it last evening when I got home, watching eating dinner and watching the news. But I think a lot of the people at CNN, just my thoughts, they go to work in the morning, men and women, and they dress up. They have one mission, take down the president. And Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's going to say what's on his mind. Looking back in the past, I know Sam Donaldson, ABC, and President Ronald Reagan, got into it. And President Obama had a couple of shutdowns in the Rose Garden that I was watching last night. But Donald Trump's going to say what he has on his mind, and I think Jim Acosta and a lot of the people at CNN try to get under his skin. And, you know, the president is going to say what's on his mind.
And he should. And it's his press conference. They have to play by his rules as long as they're not, you know, completely onerous. And I don't believe that they are. Just have some level of respect for not only the office of the presidency. It doesn't matter who's there. So I'm not advocating for Trump. And your peers. Everybody in there wants to ask a question. There's limited time. And they want a two-part, a three-part, a four-part question. And when he's had enough, he's had enough. Just listen to what he says so that he can move on. He may not like you, and it may be motivated by the fact that he doesn't like you. But the facts are he doesn't have to call you in the first place. He can call on anybody he wants to. If I were him, I would never call on Jim Acosta. If I was doing that, or when he asked a question, I'd just tell him straight out, that's a stupid question. I'm not answering it. Move on. Next question. I've actually done that before in a press conference. I mean, don't insult my intelligence and try and get me with this gotcha question. You know, that's not what this is about. You're supposed to be collecting facts. And this is not for the development of an opinion piece.
And then the other reporter in the back basically calling him a white nationalist.
Yeah, he wanted to get into the whole thing about it. He's never said he was a white nationalist. In fact, he is to the contrary, said he doesn't like the white nationalists. And, you know, they're trying to make, and I got into this argument earlier with somebody about nationalists. It's basically a person who advocates political independence for a country. What's wrong with that?
No.
What's wrong? It used to be equated to patriotism. But now, all of a sudden, we're trying to mince words and hang people with definitions that are really more, you know, I don't know where we get the meanings of these words. We just make them up as we move information across the social networks as to where we are on any given issue.
You know what I do? I flip between Fox, MSNBC, and CNN just to get a perspective on what everybody, the pundits and the shows, are giving their opinions about. But I don't know about you. This is what I think. CNN, Cuomo, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, he could cure cancer tomorrow. I'm talking about the president. No matter what he does positive for the country, they never give him credit. It's always a bashing show. Throw darts at the president all day.
You know what's interesting? He's trying to accuse the president of using inflammatory words, and this is his thinking, that an invasion is inflammatory words. Well, if you go back and look at almost every story that Jim Acosta and some of the other reporters, it's not just CNN, use, they use inflammatory words when they're writing their pieces about the president. They don't use the nice, flowery language. They try to use words that are demeaning to the president.
I wonder
so
what
this is
say,
the pot calling the kettle black. And, you know, he's saying, and then he's going to go on to say that the president's obligation is far greater than the members of the media. No, because allegedly the media is there representing the public at large. And their fiduciary obligation to the public is not to be inflammatory, but to get to the facts, to be more like Dragnet. You know, get to the facts, ma'am, just the facts, ma'am, and move on. Bobby, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate your time. Let's go to Charlie on line three. What say you, Charlie?
Yeah, how you doing, Neil?
Good.
I think that they ought to set some rules for these press conferences. You get one question and no follow-up questions, because all of a sudden you get a follow-up question, and Sarah's guilty of that sometimes. She engages these people, and before it becomes a debate then. And if everybody got one question, well, then everybody in the room would all ask a question. And like the president says, you know, if you want to debate me, run for president.
Yeah, I mean, it's not there to be a debate. I mean, certainly there's some qualifiers that need to be fleshed out at periods of time, and that's fine. But you do that when you have 3, 4, 5, 6 reporters, not 100.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there's no way to get to the meat of the subject that way if you're going to continue follow-up question, and then it doesn't have anything to do with the previous question in many respects, and then the whole thing is lost
exactly.
In my respect. Charlie, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. We're going to get to a break now. We want to hear from you, though, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. On the Blue Runner opinion poll, whom do you blame for the dust-up in President Trump's press conference? 76% of the respondents say it's Jim Acosta, the reporter, is to blame for that conduct. And I agree. We'll be right back after the break. Give us a call. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and let's go to line one. Becky in Old Jefferson. What say you, Becky?
Hi. I guess I'm one. You said there were 76% that, or some percentage that agreed that Acosta was wrong. I actually think that the president has some blame in this, and I find that his personality or how he responds often is very unpresidential. Especially, I thought the way he would not answer the woman who was asking the definition of nationalism. Now, I don't think she was questioning him, or maybe he took it as being a white nationalist. But it was like, it was just, calling back name for name. He plays tit for tat. And I just don't think that's very good at all. And, don't really appreciate that at news conference. I guess I have a little more respect for the news people than the general public does.
Well, but don't you think that in all fairness to the president, they're trying to associate him saying that he's a white nationalist to some white supremacists that have been running around out there saying that they support the president? Now, look, I've run for political office before. I had a lot of supporters.
I voted for you before. In
a couple of races, in all of my races, more than 88% of the vote I received. I was a lucky man. Do I agree philosophically with all 88%+ of the people that voted with me? Were there some people that had malintent and were discriminatory in the way that they lived their life? Absolutely. But why should I have to suffer that association? Because if they decide to go out on the social networks and say that we're a big Newell Norman supporter, I want everybody to support me. I want everybody to vote for me. I mean, that's what all politicians want when people go to the polls. And that's exactly what this lady was trying to do to him. was to try and associate those with him saying he's a nationalist and to add the word white nationalist. Well, he's never said that he's a white nationalist. He said that he's a nationalist. And I think there's malintent there. I think they're trying to push this gotcha kind of question, and he's irritated and tired of having to explain it away at almost every, you know, press conference. And because he is big on immigration, there are those on the left, in the media, that believe that that's a racist motivation to be aggressive on immigration. And for whatever reason, they can't separate the rule of law, you know, and enforcement of the rules and the laws from racism. He didn't pass those rules. He didn't pass those laws. But yet they want to associate him as a result of enforcement or aggressive enforcement being racist. I think he's just sick and tired of having to defend himself.
And I understand him following the law, but I just find the way when he speaks about these people, those people.
His style is so much different than Obama's. And Obama had a beautiful, elegant style in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that over and over again. They're not even close in their style. He's got a different style. He's more ruffian. He's more of a street fighter style. There's no doubt about that.
I guess I just don't like seeing our leader or the person in charge speaking in those terms. But
yeah, no,
like I said, that's me. I may be almost 70, but it's like I guess I'm more on the
And Becky,
left
I agree with you. There are some things in the way that he says it that make me cringe, and I'm like, kind of, why? There's so many other ways that you could have articulated that message, right?
Right.
All righty. Thank you so much, Becky. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to come right back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. Like we do on every Thursday, we've got tickets for the Who Dat Nation. WWL wants you to put you in that number when the Saints play the Falcons on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 22nd. We have one pair of tickets to give away today. Here's all you have to do. Just listen to win. When you hear Bobby Hebert say Who Dat, he'll give you the number to call in. If you're the eighth caller, you'll be Who Datting with the rest of the Who Dat Nation as the Saints play the Falcons in the Dome on Thursday, November 22nd. Remember, listen to win. The contest line will be closed until I announce the number. Go Saints. All righty, let's go back to the talk line. Let's go to Mike in Metri. What say you, Mike?
Hey, Noel, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Say.
Quick comment on the whole Acosta thing, and to me what bothers me more than anything is when we have these discussions about him is some people get overly drawn into defending his behavior. And I agree with you on Acosta wasn't asking questions. He was trying to put on a show. I agree 100%. But me and you will totally disagree on his reason, his using the word invasion. I don't agree with that. I also disagree with, that whole thing with the discussion you had before about the word nationalist. You know, you brought up a definition, but there is another definition in Webster's for nationalism, which is somebody who supports nationalism, which is a thought of that your country is better than others and other people are less superior to your culture. You know, and we have a guy who's made comments about asshole countries. And so I disagree with you on both those fronts, but I'm not getting into a discussion.
You
that
think it's wrong? You think it's wrong?
Disagree.
Do you think it's wrong for us to believe that our culture is the best culture in the world?
I think it's fine to have pride in that, where you come from.
That's not my question. Do you think it's wrong to feel that our culture in the United States is the best culture in the world?
No, as long as that feeling doesn't cause you to discriminate against other cultures. No, absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, so. But I can. What's wrong about saying that someone else's culture doesn't reach ours? It's not up to par with ours.
Again, if it produces or has a connotation to
allow let me ask the question this way: have you ever walked out of a restaurant and said, "You know, this is a filthy, it-hole restaurant"?
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, look, his style is way different, and I'm not defending him because he says some stupid things sometimes. In my opinion.
But I agree. And my point is,
the facts are, we jump right to racism every time when it comes to him because he's very combative. And if you don't think there's a major portion of the left, whether they be in the media or otherwise, that take solace in that, and they feel really good about trying to move that dialogue and that rhetoric in that direction right away, then we don't have our eyes open.
He didn't have a reporter badgering him with questions when the guy on a stage said, you know, brought the comments about John McCain, and he called him, because of his war history, a loser. There wasn't guys
stupid
badgering
comment.
Him after...
Stupid.
Exactly, but
and
I
he should have been. He should have been. He should have been challenged for that.
That's my point. No, that's all I'm saying is I understand and I agree with you about the point about Acosta, but that doesn't mean we should be defending somebody's behavior because we don't like the guy who asked the questions. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, listen. You know, all he had to say is, "Do you have a relevant question? That's not relevant. Or no comment."
He tried.
You don't have to get into
irony was he answered the guy's question. He goes, "We have a difference of opinion. I believe it. It's an appropriate term to use." But, and Acosta kept going on. He says, "Look, we differ. Give it up already. I'm not backing down. You're not backing down. Give it up."
He is combative. He says things that way, and all my point is trying to make is that's who people voted for, and that's who he is. And I don't have a problem with that. If you're okay with it or other people are trying to defend him is okay with it, but don't defend the combative nature of him and saying, well, it's the other guy's fault. My point is I agree with you on Acosta putting on a show, but Trump's behavior is also partially to blame. We don't have to pick or choose. We can say he was wrong and he was also wrong.
There's a lot of blame to go around. I get that point. Thanks so much, Mike, for calling in. I appreciate it. Got to get to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.
Hey, folks. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon here. Want to win Saints tickets? Who dat? Now call 260-WINS. That's 260-9467. Go Saints!
WWL congratulates Byron Sterling. They will be our guests at the Saints-Falcons game on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 22nd, in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Enjoy the game and go Saints from the news talk and sports powerhouse of the Gulf South, WWL. Let's go back to the talk lines real quick. Anthony in Covington, what say you, Anthony?
Hey, Sheriff, how are you?
Doing great.
I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
It's amazing the way some people have last names that get close to describing them, isn't it? Jim Acosta is something else. My whole thing here is that I've just got to say it boils down to one thing, patriotism. I think the press has a responsibility in maintaining a level of professionalism and pride in our country. You don't have to be embarrassed about being here. You don't have to degrade us to bring other people up. And that's a serious trend that has happened within the past 10, 20 years. It's only gotten worse and worse. The two-party system really shows that, or what brings that element out, as some of the people had mentioned earlier today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where that ends, I just don't know. Before, years ago, we had common enemies that were, you know, hundreds of miles away, and everybody could get together with that common cause. You kind of saw a last kindling of that with 9/11 and so forth. But now, with no common formal enemy that we have to fight, we turn on each other, and it's guns a-blazing, and it's a horrible situation that I don't see any end to. And this yesterday's press conference is just a demonstration of this. Trump used to be red meat for these people. He was on Oprah's show. She made tons of money on him. She loved him. She actually encouraged him to run for president, believe it or not. Pull out the tapes. That's what she did. And it was just a situation where these people embraced Trump for the very thing that they criticize him for now. We all asked for a non-politician to get up there. Now we've got one, and we hate what he says and does. Yeah. I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary. I was indecisive. I was a Democrat. But I tell you, I'm done now. Trump's got my vote. My employees got raises because of his tax breaks. I'm a believer, and that's it. So I'll hang up now. Thank you,
Sheriff. All righty, Anthony. I agree with a number of your points, but the obligation goes both ways. And one of the things I'll say about his press conference yesterday, he didn't just beat up on Democrats. He beat up on Republicans as well. So he was equal opportunity as it, in that respect. He was saying things about everybody, and many of which came back and challenged him and took him on those points, and that's okay. Scoot joins me in the studio. Scoot, there's no shortage of material right now, I can tell you that.
No, there's not. We will be talking about Jim Acosta. I wish it were a little more cut and dry because, I don't like to defend the obnoxious media when they get to be obnoxious, but, I can't help but wonder if President Trump knows that he's got this relationship with Jim Acosta, why did he bother calling on him?
Yeah, I think he's, you try to be fair. You hold these press conferences. I've held many. Obviously, there were people standing out in front of me that I didn't particularly care for, and I would call on them. And if they asked an appropriate question, and I'd answer it. And if it was a stupid question, I'd tell them it was a stupid question and move on. I wasn't going to answer it. It's just the nature of the relationship's a little bit combative no matter what, and they ask you these gotcha questions. Yeah. But in Acosta's position, he was really editorializing, saying, you use the word invasion. That's an incendiary word. No, it's not.
Yeah, and I do believe that at some point, people like Jim Acosta do cross the line. They do. But there's also no doubt that some presidents don't want to answer questions, and this is not the first time this has happened. We're going to go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I've seen you in press conferences, and I supported you on my show many times when I saw you in press conferences, and reporters asked you really stupid questions, and you answered them by saying it's a stupid question, and I agreed with you. Also, we see it often in sports. There are sports reporters that ask coaches the dumbest questions. So I don't know, maybe it's inherent in the idea of being a reporter, but we'll get into that. We'll also talk about the tragic shooting at a country bar in California.
All right, sounds like it's going to be a great lineup. It always is. Stay tuned for Scoot. Really appreciate everybody's participation. See you again in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.